Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you guys by thelibertyline.com. I am your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. Here to talk to you guys about takeaways from the first OTA session in front of reporters that the Eagles held yesterday. A lot of fun stuff in regards to the depth chart, position battle, some of the stuff we talked about on the last pod. The team was able to show some semblance of what they're going to look like in the 2023 season during yesterday's practice session, so very excited to dive into all of that. Joined, as always, by my faithful co-host. You can follow him on social media at Stephen Conrad Jr. He is Stephen Conrad Jr. What's going on, man? We got a hot one today. It's going to be 90s up in here. It's time to bust out the 3-inch inseams. Time to, what is it out? Sun's out,
certainly
guns
not
out.
3-inch.
Or it's something out, thighs out. What is it? What is it? It's what's the saying?
Oh.
What's the saying?
Shoot. I know what you mean.
I forget what it is. Wait, that's going to be scorcher, scorcher. We're getting our first, June 1st came around, and now it's officially the summertime. So they were not playing around. How's it going over there, man?
Well, you say it's 90-something degrees outside. It feels like it's warmer than that up here in my studio. So once again, guys, dedication, especially during a time where Eagles news isn't all that exciting. But we are so dedicated to our craft. Every moment matters on this podcast when we're talking to you guys as you're sitting in your cars listening, or maybe wherever else you are. Maybe you're in your work
gym,
office.
On their walks, at work. You never know. It's skies out, thighs out. I had to look it up. Skies out, thighs out is what it is. It's funny you mentioned the heat up in the studio, because I always turn my air off like when I do this, so like the ventilation isn't blowing into the microphone. So if I die of heat stroke trying to get you guys some good hard intel, just know, we stick our necks out for y'all for this podcast. We put our lives on the line for this podcast. But appreciate you guys all the same for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. If you're new to the show, appreciate you guys for giving it a shot, checking it out. Be sure to rate 5 stars. Leave those reviews. All of them help so much with the exposure of the show that's been doing really well in the last few months or so. So appreciate you guys for doing that for us. We got receivers. We got safeties. We got linebacker news. We got a whole bunch of stuff to dive into as far as the OTAs that went down yesterday. Like I said, the only one session that they held this week in front of reporters. They'll have one more next week, and then they're off until July for the training camp. And then you want to talk about the dog days, Steven. Those are the real dog days. We're going to have to get creative with content as far as that goes. But the first, I guess we'll talk about some of the players that were absent during yesterday's practice. Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson, Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Derek Barnett, and Josiah Scott were the absentees from practice. But remember that offseason workouts are voluntary, so it's not like they were like they had to like leave and do anything. They just weren't here for this particular session. I would be shocked if we didn't see some of them next week. So those are some of the guys that didn't participate yesterday. Avante Maddox, Marlon Tuipulotu, and wide receiver Tyree Cleveland were watching from the sidelines due to injury. It looks like Avante Maddox is still apparently not cleared to do any type of workouts on the field. And he got hurt the Dallas game last year? And he's still having issues getting back on the field. So that's something to monitor as well. So right off the bat, in OTAs, we talk a lot about Quez Watkins on the show, not in the greatest light in the last few episodes. You know, when I listened to it back, because I always listen to the episodes back to critique and see what we can, improve on as far as the next episode. And I was like, man, we gotta like lay off Quez a little bit. Like it's getting a little redundant to this point, how we keep talking about Quez Watkins. But with the first team on Thursday, practice got started off with a nice catch from Quez Watkins over the middle of the field from Jalen Hurts.
Oh.
Hit him over outstretched arms over Darius Slay. Darius Slay was in coverage. Quez made the catch over extended arms from Darius Slay. So very nice connection between the two of them. Quez, you know, looks like he wasn't lying when he's going on this quote-unquote revenge tour. So he's the clear wide receiver three right now above Olamide Zaccheaus. He's the one slotted in there as wide receiver three as the summer gets underway. So good things to see from Quez early on.
Yeah, sure. OTAs, off-season stuff, practice, superstar, Nelson Aguilar. I mean, sorry, Quez Watkins. Yeah, absolutely.
Jalen Reagor. Remember that catch? Was that over Slay, too?
Oh, man. He was the greatest, one-handed catch. Greatest practice wide receiver I've ever seen in my life. That catch, dude? Oh, my.
That was dirty.
How's it possible?
I mean, that was dirty. I was like, yo, he's back. He's back.
That was like something you put in like a Madden trailer to sell a video game. Like the fact you can make a play like that. Like I was like when he did that, I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy.
I thought we were about to get 1,100 yard like Jalen Reagor. Like the way I was like, he's doing this to Slay, dude. He's going to eat corners alive. And then obviously that didn't work out. So good seeing from Quez Watkins. You know, he had a rough mental go of it last year. And we talked about the injury he was dealing with after the Titans game to his shoulder. So we're all hoping for a resurgence from Quez Watkins because he was fairly productive in the first couple of years of his career. N'Kobe Dean, who we're all expecting to take a monumental leap in his development in year two as he starts to see the field more. He lined up as the starting Mike linebacker, and Nicholas Moreau was at the will. N'Kobe Dean actually has the green dot, which is a shocker to me because I thought Moreau was going to be the one to be the signal caller on defense, considering he did it for Chicago last year and he had experience doing it. But the Eagles are seemingly giving N'Kobe Dean the keys. It looks like he's going to be the one calling the shots, getting everybody set on defense, and that is a huge, huge responsibility for a guy in year two who didn't play a ton of snaps for the defense last year. But he looked the part in 7-on-7s. He looked natural. He looked like he knows what he's doing. And I'm intrigued to see how far that goes in 2023 and how that's going to shape out.
Yeah, I know I sit here and joke a lot about how uninspiring some of this stuff is, this time period we're in right now. But that's like huge, the fact that even exists right now. And obviously he's got a huge, long road ahead of him, you know, as you just mentioned. But a very underrated aspect of this team going into this season. Obviously, we want to see is it even possible for Jalen Hurts to take another step, by the way? Maybe. I don't know.
What is the next step for Jalen Hurts?
I wouldn't rule anything out with him. Even wide receiver three, Quez, like how does he bounce back? There's so many storylines going into this season. How does this defensive line look? A bunch of new young pieces. Even the secondary, for that matter. The safety spot, which I'm sure we'll touch on. But N'Kobe Dean, can we finally just have that young developmental linebacker that you feel really good about, you know? And it looks like they're literally throwing him into the fire and letting him essentially have, I guess, do you want to call it the keys to the defense? I mean, that's a big responsibility, man, for a team that's trying to get back to the Super Bowl.
You know, did it in Georgia, though. So, of course, like the traits are there, and he's a natural fit there. I'm just shocked that it wasn't Nicholas Moreau because, like I said, he did it for Chicago. Speaking of Moreau, he spoke afterwards in practice about practicing against Jalen Hurts. And keep in mind that Moreau did practice against Justin Fields last season. But Moreau did say that he was impressed with how Hurts is able to read the defense. He puts the ball in tight windows and gets rid of it really, really quickly. He says he's a very, very smart player. So for him to recognize that from the first session on the field, you know that what kind of player Jalen Hurts has developed into. And yeah, exactly, the growth, the visible growth at that, because this time 2 years ago, we were hearing about underthrows and overthrows and Jalen Hurts can't throw and all this and that. And now it's just his accuracy is expected at this point, and it's natural and good for that for Jalen Hurts. Speaking of the quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota had a pretty nice throw to undrafted free agent Joseph Nada, who got paid a lot of money as an undrafted free agent. So I expect him to make this roster. And Ian Book was actually QB3 ahead of Tanner McKee. So this fifth-round quarterback that we took, that everybody was shocked, like, why are we taking this guy who's literally trying to fit a square peg into a round hole on offense because he doesn't run any RPOs, he's not mobile, and he is right now behind in book at the at QB3. Again, it's the first practice session in the summer. This is how things look for now, but I was actually shocked that Ian Book was slated in there ahead of Tanner McKee. So not much to really write home about for either of those players. Just an interesting development. I will say, though, Marcus Mariota in an Eagles jersey, still kind of surreal. And he looks like, I don't want to say like awkward. Like he's a big dude. Like he's like, but it's almost like, like Nick Foles-esque, like two left feet kind of situation.
Yeah, he's
going
not. I noticed that too. He's not very like fluid. I don't know.
Yeah, not really.
He's somebody like that can jerky. Move.
Jerky is a good word for him. He's very jerky. That's the word I'll use. But had a couple nice throws yesterday, so good on that. Nolan Smith was the big talk of the town yesterday as far as OTAs were concerned. I'll tell you this, Steven, if you had never read scouting reports or anything that scouts were saying, calling him undersized, you certainly wouldn't consider him small. Like looking at him in person, he definitely looks bigger than his listed weight of 6'2", 238 pounds. And I think the theme with this Eagles team, especially with A.J. Brown and Rashad Penny after seeing him, everybody's lower body is just like huge, like tree trunks type. Like Nolan Smith is like ridiculously like big calves and quads, like if I can put it like that. that dude is gargantuan. And in drills, now obviously edge rushers aren't allowed to truly rush the quarterback, but Nolan Smith played virtually almost every single rep of the day. And in every single rep, he was like in full sprint mode for most of it. He was haul ass and sometimes 30 plus yards down the field. And on one rep in particular, he ran downfield to be one of the players stripping at the ball from Dallas Goedert and then got in his face afterwards. So, I mean, rookies.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Rookies,
what is he doing?
Rookies, you know, it wasn't like a heated thing. He just, you know, was just amped up. He was just amped up.
Wow.
But not too often are rookies getting in the face of proven veterans. So, man, Nolan Smith is going to bring the energy. And I know we say a lot about the dogs and make the jokes about dogs, but he truly is bringing that dog mentality. And I think Eagles fans are going to fall in love with that energy. He's seemingly already a fan favorite before he's even taken a single snap. But his energy and his play style, I think Eagles fans are certainly going to gravitate towards him.
Yeah, there's that. And then I don't know if you saw the apparently it was an over-exaggeration, and I forget who it was by, but apparently Jalen Carter broke a sled.
I heard that.
I don't think it actually happened, though.
Your boy Philly Mike, he had Spadaro on his YouTube channel, and he said it.
Oh, Spadaro said it.
Spadaro said it. And okay. Spadaro, obviously, he works for the team, so he knows better than anybody.
But I think he was over-exaggerating. He had, like, later I saw when I was scrolling through Twitter, said I got really excited or whatever. I don't know, something like that. I guess he over-exaggerated. But nonetheless, I mean, hey, literal dogs on the field. I'm more excited, like at least for the regular season, man. I don't know about you. I'm more excited to just see this defense line up and play. Like, I just want to see. I just want to see what they got.
I remember after the draft, I was like, I might be more excited to watch this defense over the offense. And this is an offense with Jalen Hurts and DeAndre Swift and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, and where I'm actually intrigued to see how this, more intrigued to see how this defense is going to be, because defense is truly what, you know, Philadelphia is built on. Philadelphia loves a stout, good, dominant defense. And if you can get back to those days, man, Philadelphia Eagles football is going to be even more exciting than it has been. Is when you can have a dominant defense. Speaking of the linebackers, Sean Bradley and Davian Taylor, who's apparently still hanging around the team, began as the second team linebackers, and Justin Evans and Kayvon Wallace were second team safeties. The Eagles' first team safeties on Thursday were Reed Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds. So those are your guys to start with. We mentioned this on the last pod that is the expectation. Terrell Edmonds has the most NFL experience. Reed Blankenship has the most experience with the team from his snaps at the end of the year last year. That one's filling in for CJ Gardner-Johnson. So that is the way they rolled with yesterday. And rookie Sidney Brown also ran with the second team. And Brown, man, that's a guy who, you want to talk about a ball hawk, somebody that flies all over the field, especially in 7-on-7s. His sideline-to-sideline speed is tremendous to watch. And Terrell Edmonds said that Sidney Brown is a guy that's going to be in this league for a while. And these are like I said, these veterans are noticing these rookies, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Sidney Brown. When you have 5-plus-year veterans coming out and saying these things about this rookie class, you can't help but get excited. And Sidney Brown is I know we're all hype about Nolan and Jalen Carter and all the Georgia Bulldogs, but Sidney Brown is arguably my favorite prospect from this draft, and I can't wait to see what he can do in 2023. And OTAs seem like a good indication so far that he'll be a good player.
Wow, your favorite prospect.
He's mine personally, but everybody, I mean, I just like hard-hitting safeties personally. Like, they're more exciting to me than dominant defensive tackles, but that's because my favorite player of all time is Brian Dawkins. So, like, obviously we haven't had a player since then. But the premise of a hard-hitting comparison. Yeah, no, I'm not comparing him to anybody. Like they did with Kayvon Wallace and ruined his career, right?
Well, there was something to be said about the attitude and stuff that, sorry for bringing up an ex, but Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I'm sorry, I'm just saying. I quickly fell in love with him. And fell out of love very quickly. Yes. It was a toxic relationship.
We'll talk about highs and lows. Yeah, highs and then the lowest. of Los Villas City Brown. It looks like the ball hockey's flying all over the place. He had 6 picks and 7 passes defended in his final year in college. I stated that last podcast. So he certainly looks the part in OTAs, and I'm very excited to see how he develops moving forward. Sticking with the secondary, a very strong day from Darius Slay. We stated on the last show that he kind of slowed up at the end of the season, but he showed no signs of that in OTAs. Again, it is what it is in practice. But Slay broke up a pass to A.J. Brown on a back shoulder ball, and A.J. Brown tried his little late hands thing, and Slay read that all the way and broke it up, so you can't fool Slay on those. Mm. And Slay also
broke up. You guys got to be tired of practicing, competing against each other. Yeah. Like, they know all
staring
each other's
at A.J. Brown. Like, man, get tired of getting bitched and thrown around by this guy, but he had his number on that rep. And Slay also broke up an underthrown ball from Jalen Hurts to Dallas Goedert a little bit later. So mid-season form at this point for Darius Slay. So very excited to hear that, especially when he's a 32-year-old cornerback. He's going to have to hold up for the entire season. You just extended him. He's going to be here for the next few years. And father time waits for nobody. But these are good signs that Darius Slay, at least in June, hasn't showed signs of steep decline as of yet.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I really hate to be that person, but I obviously love our secondary, but there's this worry in the back of my mind about the age of both guys. And I'm just scared that it could lead to age related wear and tear, as I'm assuming that's what happened to Darius Slay last year, by the way. I'm assuming it was fatigue related things holding him back. I would assume, right? I don't think it was mental or anything.
Oh, just the wear and tear of the season. When you're playing football, against these top receivers, he's playing against Justin Jeffersons and those kind of guys. Like, it's not easy, and everybody's banged up come the playoffs. And like you said, when you're older, your body doesn't recover as well as you do when you're 24 years old. So you just have to take extra precautions to take care of your body. And I'm sure Darius Slay, as well as James Bradbeer and some of these other older vets, mid-30s, Brandon Grahams and Fletcher Coxes, are going to make that a priority this season to make sure they're healthy and try and win the Super Bowl that they rightfully should have won back in February. Again, with the cornerbacks, we have a bit of a position switch with my guy, Zach McPherson. We talked about him a bit a couple of days ago, and he got run with the first team at nickel cornerback with Maddox not practicing on the sideline. So Zach McPherson, who exclusively has been playing the outside, he's been the backup outside corner since he's been drafted, but now he's going to get a look at nickel cornerback. And we know when Josiah Scott had to fill in for Avante Maddox, teams, especially Dallas, were keying in on Scott and exposing him, and he became the primary target.
That was rough, man.
He became the primary target on defense. So if the Eagles can find an in-house option to replace him in Zach McPherson and say, you know what, we've had this guy for a couple of years, our outside corners are set for now, let's see if we can utilize Zach McPherson, who's been here for a couple of years, get him in the slot and see what we can do. That seems to be the game plan for the Eagles thus far. Zach McPherson, I can tell you, he comes from an athletic family. He has a family full of athletes, and I'm just happy he's getting some run because he's been here for a few years and he's shown signs that he can play, especially in preseason. He's made a few plays. He's 5'11", 191 pounds. So he's prototypical nickel, nickel size. He has the build for it.
Maddox is like 5'9", isn't he?
Yeah, yep. But if you can put a guy 2 inches taller, a little bit heavier in the slot and manage some of these receivers, I think that's a good look for the Eagles to try and see if they can use him as a nickel guy.
Well, that makes me feel better, but that doesn't change the fact that they still need some developmental guys on the outside. I mean, we have someone potentially on the roster. We'll see what happens, but it's not definitely anywhere near as definite or set in stone as the defensive line guys that are coming in to eventually replace, our franchise guys, Cox and, Brandon Graham.
It
worries me, man. I don't know. It just worries me because all it takes is one injury to Slayer Bradbury, and you're like, shit. Like,
They're trying out some guys on the outside. James Bradbury, he was practicing, but he didn't participate in 7-on-7s. So the Eagles had Greedy Williams and Josh Job getting snaps with the first team opposite Darius Slay. And Keely Ringo was working with the second team at outside cornerback. So they certainly have bodies there. Greedy on the outside, Josh Job on the outside, Keely Ringo getting some run with the second stringers. So there's a guy. They're going to have Zach McPherson back of nickel, try and figure that out. And they have Greedy and Josh Job, who was an undrafted guy last year, Alabama guy. And I like Josh Job a lot. He showed me some things in preseason last year as well. So good stuff there. I like the potential of some of these corners. I can't call it depth yet because it's not solidified, but they certainly have a pool of guys who can play. And if they can nail one to two of those guys and have them become, you know, consistent starters. I think that's good for the Eagles.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Flipping to the offensive side of the ball, A.J. Brown somehow, if it's even possible, got even bigger. Like, that man just somehow put on more muscle. He just looks even more, at least it looks that way. I don't know if he truly put on more weight, but this man is even more shredded than he was last year. Rashad Penny also is bigger than he looks. That guy is is. I can see why he's so tough to bring down, because his upper body is so, like, so I don't even know the words. It's just, he's like stocky. He's just a stocky dude, and I can see why he's going to be running people over behind this offensive line. And then DeAndre Swift was very quick catching passes out of the backfield. He's caught a million passes out of the backfield so far in his career, and it's easy to see why when you watch him in OTAs. He's a natural out of the backfield. They're going to line him up in the slot. They're going to use him all over the place, and that's exciting. As well.
Well, that's a big wrinkle to have in the offense. I feel like we didn't have that.
Well, yeah, they didn't line a lot of guys. They didn't move a lot of guys around. When you have the pass catchers that you do, you don't really need to. You like the Bijan Robinsons and the Christian McCaffreys, and line them up and be the all around back and be the what is it, the Swiss Army knife, as they call them. We don't have a lot of those, but DeAndre Swift is certainly capable of catching passes regardless of the alignment. So very excited to keep an eye on that moving forward. Cam Jurgens was at right guard for the first team, and it seems like the Eagles, for all intents and purposes, are going to give him every opportunity to win that job. It looks like, I don't want to say it's like his job to lose at this point, but it's very clear that the Eagles want him to be that guy. So he's the guy next to Lane Johnson as of right now. What are you thinking about? I see you pondering over there.
No, I mean, I guess, you know, get him experience, NFL experience, regardless of position, right? And I mean, just let him get out there and play at the end of the day, right? I mean, it was a conversation I feel like we had when we first started these offseason pods, like who's going to win that spot over there at the, you know, at right guard. I mean, again, it's still early, but I guess, is that the sense you're getting? Like, that's his position?
I don't want to say it's his to lose, because that's not giving Tyler Steen a chance, but it's very evident that the Eagles intend to have Cam Jurgens be that guy, and then Tyler Steen can be the developmental guy, unless Jurgens just looks dreadful in training camp in July. But I don't anticipate that. So as of now, it looks like Jurgens will be the one.
I guess it's not too much of a transition then for Jurgens to just move to center, I guess. Right?
Apparently not. But like I said, second round picks don't sit for two seasons that often. So once Jason Kelsey came back and told Jurgens, "Sorry, man, I'm back," and then I guess the Eagles move those plans in motion. DeAndre Swift caught 156 passes so far in 3 years that he's been in the league. That's a lot of passes for a running back. That's a lot of passes. But he looks like a natural out of the backfield. Wanted to look that up and see how many exactly.
Yeah, that's a lot.
He caught a lot. That's like
156
and 52 balls a year. Yeah.
Wow.
Some receivers don't even get. That's more than Alamide Zacchaeus had last year. Zacchaeus only caught 40 passes last year. That's crazy. That's crazy to think about. So that's that. Punt returner. Special teams. Our favorite area. Britton Covey is still the top returner on the depth chart. Greg Ward, Alamide Zacchaeus, and Quez Watkins are behind him without Devontae Smith practicing. I don't know where he's going to slot into that. because the Eagles did use him a lot. You really don't want one of your top receivers to be utilized on special teams.
Weird, didn't it?
It wasn't weird. It was just that Brent Covey didn't do anything. So sometimes you need a spark, throw a guy who's shifty and can get in between defenders and make something happen. But you probably don't want Devontae Smith returning too many punts and risking potential injury. So what's funny about that?
I don't know. Just some aspects of this fucking team, man. Just like I'm thinking about.
Sirianni do be trying shit. Like when like Sarius Slay was running around on offense on that
just,
one play.
I'll never forget this. Well, first of all, let's just rewind a little bit. Like it seemed like there was a stretch of time last year where Britton Covey, you know, he's out there returning punts, and it just felt like no matter what he did, it could be a nice little 8 to 15 yard return. Like, yeah, he's, you know, he's picking up yardage, and at the end of every punt return, this dude was getting slugged, just picked up and set in the air. And then I'll never forget, I think I might have came back to the bathroom, whatever game it was, I have no idea, and I'm like on Twitter, and I'm scrolling, and I see people, because sometimes Twitter's ahead of my live broadcast for whatever reason. Sometimes some people are just ahead, like a little bit, not too much, just some people are a little bit ahead, and somebody's like, yo, Devontae's out there returning this punt, and I'm like, oh god, what are we doing? Like, are we gonna get this guy hurt? Like, why not AJ Brown? Wouldn't AJ Brown be phenomenal?
All right, I don't know about that. You want shifty guys back there. You don't want guys who are just gonna be like that. AJ Brown's a big target. Like,
yeah, you know what? AJ Brown's the type of dude to just try and truck everybody, and yeah, he's gonna have a whole pile of guys on top of him
on plays like that. Britton Covey was catching like the JBL clothesline from hell on most of those returns. Like, he was never just got tackled. He was mid-air.
Yeah, like he would pick up. They got a point where it's like, all right, it looks like he's starting to get some experience, you know, under his belt, and he'd start picking up more yards. And all of a sudden, boom, he just gets popped. It's like, damn. And the announcers,
that's what happens
are like,
when you're 5'8", 170 pounds. Like I'm bigger than that. Like, I'm bigger than that. But hey, he's going to be around. He's going to be around. It looks
remember
like
his TikToks or whatever he was doing?
TikToks. Remember he was locked out of the – what was he, like, locked out of the stadium? And he was, like, tailgating with fans and all this stuff because the security didn't recognize him because they didn't know he was on the team.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. That is crazy. But remember that Brent Covey is a slot receiver. So maybe he'll get some looks. Maybe
he's the gadget guy.
Yeah, you were speaking last.
Once my foot stopped cramping, for those that didn't tune in, I had a foot cramp of hell right before I made a point in last episode, and I actually had to stop talking. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get that clip out on social media. You guys will have to follow us. Follow the Philly Pod.
I don't think anybody's interested in your medical issues as far as your medical episodes during podcast. Britton Covey returned 33 punts last year for 308 yards, averaging 9.3 yards per return. I don't know where it ranks, but that can't be good. 9.3 yards per return. Is that good? What's the league average? What's the league average for punt returns? Now I'm going to look it up because I really don't know who was leading last year. It had to be Turpin, Kevontae Turpin on Dallas. That guy is pretty good. Yards per return. Britton Covey is
up there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He ninth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, proves me wrong. I guess Britton Covey deserves to be the top of the depth chart. The highest was Marcus Jones on New England, DeAndre Carter, Ray McCloud, Desmond King, Kevontae Turpin, Dallas, he's fifth. Yeah, so okay, Britton Covey was up there. All right, getting yards. It just doesn't seem like 9 yards per return is very much. But I guess when most people are fair catching, it does make sense. So go to Britton Covey. He's the top returner as of now, says the depth chart. We'll see how all that shakes out in the following months. Another potential position switch we have here, Kyron Johnson, who's normally an edge rusher since he was drafted, got some work at off-ball linebacker. Now, we obviously know there's no depth, much depth anyway, as far as off-ball linebacker is concerned. We have edge rushers galore, Hassan Reddick, Nolan Smith. We got all these guys. We need some off-ball guys that can kind of defend and pass coverage. And Kyron Johnson got some work in that regard. So
that guy's still around?
Yes, he's still around. He has no reason not to be. He hasn't shown the team anything to get rid of him. Get rid of him yet. Another guy who may be the summer darling, the training camp darling, Christian Ellis. Whoa. A guy my eyes on the defense, because he did make some plays on special teams last year, and I like the way he hits. I like the way he tackles. He made the defensive play of the day yesterday, back into coverage, and made a leaping interception on a pass from Marcus Mariota. Leaping. Jumped in the air and grabbed that thing. And we need linebackers that can pass, defend the pass. We need somebody that can cover. We need somebody that can cover back there, because we don't want the dark days of Nathan Gary to come back and haunt us. So good to see Christian Ellis making plays. He has some very intriguing tools, and I'm excited to see what he can do this summer. The last note I have here.
Well, that beats putting Hassan Reddick in pass coverage, I suppose.
Yeah, right? Gannon. You know, remember when Gannon said he would probably have 25 sacks if I didn't put him back in pass coverage, and I was like, then why do you, man? What is going on here? But some people will argue that he didn't do it all that often. I have to look up the stat exactly how many snaps. But I know it wasn't as much as Eagles fans made it out to be. We just exaggerate because that's the name of the game in this city. Aaron Sipos, the punter battle that we are so excited about. Aaron Sipos has the early edge over Ty Zettner, had a little better hang time, and Zettner did shank a couple. So
it's one job.
Might be another year.
It's one job. I just don't understand.
Might be another year of Sipos up in here, man.
Well, maybe he needed that to be lit under a fire lit under him, you know?
What constitutes, like, it's just hard because, like, what are you going to tell in training camp? Like it's just punting. Like, the whole punter workout is just...
Oh, is it a good punt or not? I mean, what do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. You got to measure the hang times.
I just don't get
it.
How can you...
You got to measure the hang times.
I don't get how you can shank punts when that's your only job.
It goes off the side of your foot. You've done it before. It goes off the side of your foot. Yeah, no, but you go to punt it, and it comes off, like, it goes off the outside edge of your foot, and it just goes out of
that. I understand how it happens, but, like, I don't understand... Whatever.
You don't understand how professional punters who have literally one job at the NFL is just to punt the damn ball. You don't have to memorize the playbook.
Quarterback, there's like so much other stuff going on. So it's like, all right, a missed throw. I get it.
You don't got to read a defense. You literally got to catch. And some people have a hard time catching the ball. And so who was the guy last year? Was it the Giants punter in the Eagles game that like dropped the ball, picked it back up and tried to kick it again?
I don't know. I guess.
You dropped that shit, picked it up like 5 yards downfield and tried to punt that shit again, man.
I don't get it. At least like field goal kicking. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot more that goes. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a lot more pressure that goes into that.
That's what I mean. Literally points being decided. Whereas punting is just field position.
25% of the reason why we lost that Super Bowl. So I hope you get it together in camp. If you're going to beat out Ty Zettner, who was in line to win the nation's best punter award. If you can beat him out, I guess, who are we to say? Interesting other punt news. Remember Brett Kern, the guy we signed last year for a couple weeks, the longtime Tennessee Titans punter. You probably don't know because you don't care about punters.
I mean,
but he did retire. He retired the other day. So good job, Brett Kern, on a good career of punting. He was one of the better ones. Yeah, he was.
I guess the competition was too much for him here.
I know a lot of you guys were wondering how Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and all those guys looked, but not much to speak of. They practiced like on a far, like other side of the field, so there was like nothing you could really see from that angle, and it's hard to kind of tell in those drills anyway because you're not allowed to rush the quarterback. So like Nolan Smith being able to like sprint all over the place, and that's about as much as edge rushing that we're going to see. So not much to write home about as far as the defensive line is concerned. But yeah, Jalen Hurts looking good, looking sharp as always, but that's to be expected at this point. It doesn't look like his newfound riches has affected his game at all. It looks like he's still taking business as serious as ever. Quez is on the revenge tour. He's looking good. N'Kobe Dean is the new quarterback of the defense, and we got Zach McPherson, new nickel cornerback Zach McPherson. Can't wait to see how that all shakes out. And Nolan Smith is the energy guy, man. I'm telling you, he's going to be a fan favorite. Come week one, you're going to see he doesn't take a single snap off. Practice, game, it doesn't matter. He's playing like every snap is his last. So that's exciting as well. Steven, any other points you want to hammer home before we wrap this one up?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything I wanted to. I'm looking
forward. Anything that caught your attention? What was the most shocking development of OTAs that you heard on the show?
Most shocking?
Anything shocking?
Nothing maybe, too surprising. I wouldn't say shocking, but the McPherson thing is interesting.
Yeah, but it's more finding a reason to hate on him because you just don't want me, my guy to.
Yeah, how about it? He found his way in there, huh?
Found his way in, and it's going to be at nickel, at 5'11" nickel cornerback. I love it personally. I'm just my most shocking thing was that N'Kobe Dean was given the green dot. I shouldn't be as shocked. I just thought Moreau with the experience was going to be handed the keys at least for another year, and then N'Kobe Dean would take it next year. Just so much responsibility as a second-year player. I could see if he played a ton last year, but he didn't really. And now he's essentially like running the defense. So that's a lot. That's a lot. And it's a new defensive coordinator. There's a new linebackers coach. It's a lot going on that Eagles.
They don't
defense.
Give up on him too quickly if he struggles.
You know? Oh no, they won't. They certainly won't. They don't have any other options, so they can't afford to.
Yeah, that is true.
So that is that. Appreciate you guys for turning into this episode of the Philly Pod as we got to take a couple notes here on OTAs. The next session in front of reporters is next week. We should have a guest on to come on here and talk about that with us as well. So stay on tap for that. Be sure to subscribe to the show, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your podcasts. Follow me, Victor Williams, on social media over at The Philly Pod. Steven, where can the people find you and engage with you if they want to talk to you for whatever reason?
That's Steven Conrad Jr. on all platforms, Instagram, yep. TikTok. Stuff.
Nick and Nurse is here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an Eagles pod, but somehow, some way, that damn franchise somehow suckered me back in again.
Yep, I'm in. I'm 100% in. That's it for me. Bring in Nurse, bring in Fred Van Vliet. If we can get OG, I'm in. I feel like I said that at the end of the last episode, too, but I'm in. You get those guys. If you could chip out Tobias, and Harden's obviously gone, and replace them with Fred and OG.
Oh,
running back.
Man, I don't know. Oh,
the
Fred
only thing
and
is
OG.
That, and the only thing about Nick Nurse is he's like Thibodeau-esque. Like, he runs his players into the ground, doesn't he? Like, he plays them boys 46 minutes a game, and Embiid by game 40 is going to be freaking, his ACL is going to be hanging on by a thread.
Well, like, I don't know. It's time to get in shape, man. It's time to get.
We'll
in shape.
Say, I'm very excited to see Tyrese Maxey under Nick Nurse. You wanted Maxey to have the key so bad. Nick Nurse is about to give him the whole house. He's about to give him the whole car lot, the whole dealership at this point. So
you better
get it. Hey, Maxey was averaging like 25 a game in games without James Harden last year. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting.
There's anybody that embodies the city of Philadelphia, it's him.
Okay. I think it's James.
What? You don't think so?
Oh, on the Sixers? It's not Joel Embiid? Not anymore. Not after that.
Joel's my favorite player, but, you know, there's question marks.
Question marks.
Although he was playing on a torn LCL. Like, are we just going to pretend? Like, I get it. He's hurt every year, blah, blah, blah.
I like how Boston fans are like, oh, if Tatum didn't roll his ankle in the beginning of the game. I'm like, yo, first of all,
Embiid
played the whole series hurt. Now we're making.
He had an identical stat line to Embiid in his game 7 when his franchise needed him the most. And Tatum has a way, 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 way better supporting cast.
It's funny how, like, one thing, not to dwell on the NBA too much, but it's funny how, like, one game changes, like, an entire narrative. Like, Miami Heat, like, if they lose that game, they are all-time, like, choke artists. But now Boston are the choke artists, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Although now this NBA Finals series doesn't look like it's going to be very entertaining. Jokic is about to steamroll through those boys. Jimmy Butler, 13 points in game 1? What are we doing, man? What are we doing, man? Appreciate you guys for listening to this. We'll catch you guys on the next one. I don't know if it'll be this weekend. Probably Monday. We'll do another one Monday. Talk about some linebackers. Talk about some players that could be on the trade block. I got some players on my mind that could potentially be traded before the season starts. And we'll talk about all that. But until the next one, guys, we'll catch you. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.